Amen. Aren't you glad he's strong? Amen. Scripture says in 2 Chronicles 16:9 that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for the heart that will be loyal unto him, perfect toward him, single-minded toward him, that he might show himself strong on their behalf. What a word. Amen. To know that in this place, this morning, in this community, across this world, the eyes of the Lord go back and forth looking for that single-minded heart. He'll just trust him, lean on him, and he'll do himself strong on their behalf. To him be the glory. Won't you take your copy of the Word of God this morning and turn to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 31. We have actually transitioned into the book of James with today's reading, and we wrapped up with Proverbs, and we just want to give God the glory. Proverbs has been good. Amen? Amen. 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 To God be the glory. We just be a willing vessel. Amen. And always, as he said, you know, I believe in praying about everything. Scripture says pray about everything, doesn't it? Even when we go to a ball game. Amen. Divine ordained appointments God opens up for us. He teaches us to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not upon our own understanding. Acknowledge him. Go to him. Pray. Seek him. Acknowledge him in all thy ways. And he has promised to do what? Direct our paths. Direct our steps. You've heard me say it before. The path to the path is more important than the path. Amen. That's that seeking him first. That's the path that's more important than the path. And leaning on him, acknowledging him, and he'll open up those doors of opportunity so that we can just be a mouthpiece, just to share what Jesus came to do. And as I think about these things and think about our reading through Proverbs, it's neat to me, and I don't know how all this necessarily pieces and fits to together, but the beginning of the book of Proverbs, as we read through it, remember I said it's a book that deals with the word proverb means to be similar to. It speaks of it's like this, and it's generally like this. It's lifetime principles that have been distilled and filtered down into these short, brief, power, wisdom statements that help us see the Lord, see him at work, see humanity and how man thinks, and to see the wisdom of God and how foolishness acts and how the wise act, how the upright walk, how the righteous think, and how the wicked and the evil and the ungodly. And it takes a lifetime of a wise man, say like Solomon, who penned these things, who've distilled through experience of walking with the Lord, seeing things that were both good and bad, because Solomon did a lot of things that were wayward in his acts, and the even in the wisdom that he had, he still did a bunch of things that were not permissible for him to do, and it cost him, and it cost those that followed him behind him as well. But God gave him great wisdom, and this distilled understanding that we have is a great tool for us to be able to look at people. Like, I can watch Danny and see traits through Proverbs come out of his life, and how he can watch me and see how I do and think and say, and be able to put a proverb next to it and say it's similar to this, it's like this. And we see those things happening. But one of the neat dynamics of the book of Proverbs is that wisdom is referred to or spoken of in a feminine sense. I don't know, did y'all pick up that as you've been reading through Proverbs? It referred to wisdom as a she, as her, and even in the Hebrew language, it's written from the feminine side. And why that is exactly is unknown. I don't exactly know. I can assume some things. I can subject some things. I can put some things in. But it's neat how the book starts out in reference to wisdom. And the beginning of wisdom is what? the fear of God, right? The fear of the Lord. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. How this book starts out with Solomon instructing his sons. Most of the book is directed toward men, even though it's using feminine sides like with wisdom. But it's a message toward the leadership of these young men who need wisdom to be civil, who need wisdom to be spiritual, who need wisdom to be able to bless their families and bless society and bless a community and bless a rulership, a kingship. Solomon's sons were going to take over the throne and they were going to lead a nation, and they needed to be wise and they needed to have understanding. They needed discernment. And most of the Proverbs are directed toward that side of men in leadership. And we believe that men play a fundamental role in our society. Amen. You watch men get knocked down or get taken out of the picture, we start seeing a society crumble. And praise God and thankfulness for the women who stood in the gap when, oh, so sorry, men just wouldn't do it. Are you with me? Just imagine where we would be. Think about it. Imagine where you would be if you didn't have a mama. You know what I'm talking about. And your mama loving on you and leading you and blessing you when daddy was acting foolish in his days, you know. So we're grateful for that. And I think that's a lot of the reason why Solomon wrote what he wrote and why he wrote it under the inspiration of the Spirit of God is to help us as men, how to be careful with the immoral side, how to be careful. There's so much, Brother Shannon, as we was reading through it, of the warnings to be careful with the foolish woman, the immoral woman, the crazy woman, the contentious woman. Be cautious because they're going to trap you and they'll get you. And Solomon fell in that trap himself, so he had some wisdom on that. It cost him dearly. He was a fool in some of the things that he did. Even in the wisdom that he had, he operated outside of God's boundaries, even though he was as wise as he was. But the book starts out with this reference. Matter of fact, just turn to chapter 1. Let's look real quick. Chapter 1, and notice, the book starts in reference toward wisdom in this feminine side, and the book closes with a portrait of this wise woman, this virtuous woman. And I'm just going to share with you maybe a reason or two why this may be. Chapter 1, verse 1, let's just start reading there. It's like this: the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding and to perceive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple and to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. Verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And now jump over to verse 20. Look over in verse 20 and notice how this is drawn out. Wisdom calls aloud where? In the streets outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the city. And the notice, this feminine side, this, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke, and surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and had none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. And they will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full of their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me would dwell safely and would be secure without fear of evil. Whoever listens to me. We could jump over to chapter 8 and look in it, and chapter 8 does the same thing. Wisdom builds her house. Her house. And as chapter 8 says, Brother Shannon brought this out the other day in Sunday school. He said, those who love me, I will love. I'll pour out my spirit upon you. And then turn back to the last chapter again, chapter 31. And let's just take a brief moment. I'm just going to read this. I know this is quite a bit of reading, but you can't never read too much of the word. Amen? And there's something about hearing the word read that I find always a blessing to me. When I hear somebody read the word of God, there's things that God speaks to me at times. In the this hearing somebody read it, it stands out, something that I didn't pick up when I read it to myself. And I would encourage each one of you, how many of you read out loud to yourself? I read out loud to myself just like I would read to y'all. And I hear things when I read out loud to myself that I don't pick up on when I'm reading it silently or quietly. I don't know if I just ain't smart enough to get it when I read it, but when I hear it and read it, it helps me. So I'm just going to read this, and keep in mind, here is a portrait of this wise, virtuous woman. I'm going to start in verse number 10, and y'all just listen to this as it unfolds. 31:10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. So he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like a merchant ship that brings her food from afar. And she also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindles. She extends her hand to the poor, and she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself, and her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. What a reading. Amen. You know, there's a lot that can be said about this particular passage, and I'm not really even going to deal with this woman particularly. I'm just going to point out a few things about the fact that her worth, she is worth, she's rare. She is more rare than precious rubies, more rare than jewels. her worth, though, exceeds that because she's safe. Her husband trusts her. She's safe. He doesn't have to fear. He doesn't lose any gain. I come across a lot of people in my journey. I spent a lot of time around a lot of people in my short life, and spent some days in my Navy times with folks, and I just watched too many men not feel safe with being gone or away from their wives. And a virtuous woman is a safe woman. She's worth something. She's safe. And there's gain. A man that has to worry about his woman all the time can't focus in on what needs to be accomplished and what needs to be done. And he's constantly having to fix things and worry about things. And it's good to have a good woman that you can be safe with. She's rare. She's precious. Her work. She's sure of her work. I love this phrase that it says this in verse 18. She perceives that her merchandise is good. That's a surety, a confidence. I know she has something of value to give away. Amen? And we need to know that. Now, this is not just about the woman. This is about all of us. I want to be safe. I want people to be able to trust me. And I want to have a rare quality of faithfulness and worth about me. I feel like at times I fail and let you down and let the Lord down. And I'm thankful for grace that I can lean back on Him and trust Him. But we want to be of worth. We want to be safe. We want to be sure. I want to be like, and who understood he had that Bible in his truck. He had those Gideon Bibles, something of value that he can give away, Chris, that he could pull out and share Jesus. It wasn't about money in our pockets. It wasn't about these things, as Peter and them would say, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have I'll give you in the sweet name of Jesus Christ. And share Jesus, amen. And be that away with people, knowing that our merchandise, what we have in life, is something that is good, and we can give it away. Amen. Be confident and sure in that our work is something that is a value to be able to bless and help people. So this speaks to me. I think about this woman. Yesterday I shared a little message. It spoke to me as I was reading through it. Is that she wasn't out there trying to be discovered. She is the type of woman that was enjoying what she had discovered in life. And she lived that away. And it reflected in her joy, and it reflected in her life. But as I think about these things, this is really where I want to go with it. With this idea of the Bible starting out in Proverbs with this picture of wisdom and this picture of a woman, and then this close of Proverbs, we got a beautiful portrait of a worthy woman who works with her hands, who has a powerful witness, who is wise, not just successful, but she's significant. Now, as I think about those things and put them together with everything in between in the book of Proverbs, I can't help but think about this. Remember when God created Adam in the beginning? And God said that he needed to create something that was comparable to Adam, something that would be a blessing to him for fellowship and intimacy. And God created all the beasts of the field and the creatures, and he brought them to Adam, and Adam named every one of them. But out of all those, there was none that he could have a fellowship with, that he could have intimacy with. So what did God do? What was his next step? What did God do? He created a woman. He created a woman. He put Adam to sleep. And he took a rib, I don't know which one it was, but he took a rib. We ain't missing it, amen? He took it, he created a woman, and he presented it to him. And everything was good, amen? Amen. A woman. Now, God told Adam and Eve in that garden, he gave them all the abundance. He gave them everything. He just limited them to one tree. What tree did he limit them to? The tree of knowledge and what? But everything else was for the taking. They could have it. It was for them. But just stay away from the knowledge of good and evil. And then that old serpent come along and he deceived Eve. And Eve took of that fruit. Now, the more I think about that, You see, what comes out of man, what comes from man, because Eve is from man. Eve is from man. What comes from man that doesn't have God in it only leads to death and destruction. You see, because Eve, operating away from what God spoke and said, remember he said, thou shalt not eat of that tree. Well, Satan comes along, disguises this serpent, and he suggests to her that it would be all right to eat the tree. She yielded and heeded over to him, void of what God gave, and operated it independent of God, not on him, but independent of him, not leaning on him, not acknowledging him, not trusting him. She operated independent of him, away from him, and when she did, the consequence was death and destruction. And you see, that goes along with all of us. You see, anything we do that operates in this life, what comes from man that is void of God, only leads to death. Come on. And I think there's something to this idea why God speaks about wisdom as being from a female perspective, is the fact that God created that woman to be a helpmeet to that man. To be with him, to live in intimacy with him, to be one flesh with him. And that man, to live in that way, needed that woman. Amen. That's the way God designed us, the way that he wanted it. And I think that might be a reason why God refers to wisdom in a feminine perspective as well, because you and I cannot walk in this world in harmony with the Lord and bring glory to him apart from the intimacy of wisdom. We got to have wisdom, amen? And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we need to have a relationship with wisdom. And that's why God personifies wisdom in this feminine sense, that it ought to be something that we as people, we as men, want to have wisdom in our life. And she's to be a precious jewel to us. He even says it in chapter 7, I believe it is, he says, say to wisdom, carry wisdom with you when you go out in the streets and treat her like she's your sister, your next of kin. So that when somebody tries to lure you into their trap, your sister's going to protect you and keep you away. The image is this. In Proverbs 7, we have a young man walking down the street, and then there's a prostitute out there, and that prostitute has done dressed up the front of her place. This adulterer has already set everything up, and she starts whispering to this boy to come visit her. And in his flesh, operating on his own, by himself, a man without God involved, what happens is he gets trapped. He gets lured in. And when he gets into that trap, the scripture says their steps only lead down to hell, only leads to death. But God said, take wisdom with you, and let wisdom be like your sister. I'd imagine, Greg, if you and Pam were walking down the street together and there was some harlot trying to woo you into her comforts and her allures, and you had Pamela with you, you had Pam with you, you think Pam would give her a piece of her mind? You think she'd grab you by the ear and tell you, boy, you better get on down the road, just go, you coming with me? Don't even think it, huh? Guarantee you. You see, but if you operate without wisdom, guess what happens? You're going to operate in the flesh. When you operate in the flesh, what's going to happen? You're going to think you could do what you can do and get away with it. Don't realize the enemy's setting you up for a trap. So you need wisdom to be able to discern, to be able to make a right choice, to be able to avoid. And God gives her to us and speaks of it from a female perspective, just like he brought to Adam in the garden a woman to be a helpmeet and a completer. We cannot be what God wants us to be without wisdom. We got to have wisdom, amen? So that we can be of worth, so that we can be wise, so that we can be the witness, that our work will bring glory and praise to him, that wise work of wisdom, that we have an intimate relationship and fellowship, that when you see us, you see me, you see wisdom. When you see wisdom, you see me. We are one together in Christ based on the grace of God. We need wisdom. And I think that's why Proverbs starts out that way and it closes the way that it does, is that we need this wisdom, this understanding, this knowledge, this discernment, this discretion, and we need it intimately. We need it personally, and only God can give it. Wisdom comes from Him. You can't earn it. You can't gain it in this world. It comes from His mouth. He's got to give it. And just like the Scripture says, he who finds a wife finds what? A good thing. Finds what? Favor from the Lord. Houses and lands a father will pass on to his children, but a wise, prudent wife is a gift from the Lord. Amen. You see, wisdom is a gift of grace that God bestows upon us. And we need wisdom to walk in this world. And the beginning of it is in the fear of the Lord. Amen. To trust Him. To rest in Him. To wait upon Him. To look to Him. To honor Him. Really, the word fear, the fear of the Lord, the way I understand it and how I walk and what I try to teach is that it's giving place to the Lord. When you fear something, you give place to it. You know, if you fear the dark, you give place to it. You don't go in the dark. Are you with me? How many of you don't like the dark? Come on, be honest. Dalton, you're scared of the dark? You don't go in dark places without somebody? You see, you give place to the dark. How many of you are afraid of dogs? Danny Simon? A mean dog, you don't want nothing to do with it, right? You give place to it. Got beat up by a poodle. How many of y'all afraid of heights? If you're afraid of heights, will you get on a roller coaster? You give place to it. When you fear something, you give place to it. Not only do you give place to it, you give priority to it. You give priority to it. When we fear God, we give place to Him. We give priority to Him. We give praise to Him. We give purpose to Him. And we hold close to Him. That's what it means to fear God. We give place to Him. And when we give place to Him, what God does is He just, it's like a, He pours wisdom out on us. Amen. He's looking for us. Just give place to Him. Amen. And He pour. Scripture says He's got a storehouse of wisdom laid up for the upright. Proverbs 2. He just wants to pour it out on us. And we got to look at it as that we need wisdom just like Adam needed Eve. But when what man does without God involved in it, like Eve, it's only going to produce death. You see, we need God involved. And the only way to have Him involved is, one, we got to trust Him. We give place to Him. We walk by faith. God pours out His wisdom, and we can walk through this life giving Him glory and praise. It's so important that if we're not careful, we'll be like James. Remember, God wants to give us wisdom on how to deal with the problems, but if we don't ask in faith, we're going to be unstable, like water tossed to and fro, manipulated by our environment rather than governed by His truth and His wisdom in life. We can trust Him. Take Him at His word. Amen? Amen. So I think, in conclusion, that's what I believe that would be the reason, one of the reasons. I'm sure there's probably some other things that I just don't know about. And if anybody else has any other reasons, you're more than welcome to share them. And you can get with me and we'll talk about them tonight. But I think it's the picture of what God created in the beginning with man and woman, and how man needed the woman, and how we need wisdom. Amen. To walk with Him. We need it. Proverbs 2 would be one of those proverbs, I think, is a key that will help unlock the door to the storehouse that God has, that He wants to pour that wisdom out on us. It'll help you. It'll help you. Father, we thank You today. We thank You for Your gift of life in Christ. We thank You for Your favor over us. Thank You for bestowing Your fear in us so that we can give place to You. And I pray that you would continually give us the wisdom needed, the understanding needed, that we would see that it's more valuable than all the gold and money in the world, and that we can have it. And we can seek it, and as we seek You, for you are the giver of it. So, Lord, we thank you and bless you today and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.